The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good yawning this morning. And welcome to 96.9 FM, Guardian Talk Radio. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and today is Tuesday, March the 16th, 2021. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Well, it's Tuesday, March 16th, 2021. Summer wants to be here. Cold breeze say, not yet, buddy. But I don't care, because that means I don't have to turn on my AC yet, and I'm living the good life. I want to do a little housekeeping before I introduce my guest for the day, Mrs. Orinthia Komolafe from the DNA, in fact, the leader of the party. And so, to housekeeping. First, I would like to send condolences to Atwal Pinda and the Pinda family. Secondly, I have to say, happy birthday to one of the funniest sportsmen in the country, Mr. Stanley Mitchell. Some of y'all know him as Punka, but I'm too young to call him Punka. I could only get away with it one time on the radio. But I want to say happy birthday to my uncle Stanley Mitchell, who celebrated his birthday on Sunday. I'm not going to tell you how old he is, because he don't tell us how old he is. He wants us to think he as young as we are. I don't want you all to play that number without me, because that's not fair. It's not fair when you don't share. Anyway, happy birthday, Uncle Stanley. There are a couple of issues from yesterday's newspaper that I just want to touch on briefly before we get into the show. The first is a story in today's Nassau Guardian on A2 in the national news section entitled Davis, PM's Comments on PLP MP's Unbecoming. I want to just say this quickly. That statement, PM's comments on PLP MP's unbecoming, sounds like someone who knows he and his colleagues may or are about to engage in the same, very same behavior very soon. And ain't really serious about condemning it. So, I have these questions that we should all ask ourselves after reading the article on page 2. Did Davis reuse the phrase garbage juice in this interview after all sensible people told him that that is not appropriate for public discourse, no matter how mild it seems? Is unbecoming a strong enough condemnation of the Prime Minister's words? And C, did the leader of the royal opposition not see the press statement released by the chairman of his own party in response to the prime minister's comments? Well, let me tell you something. I don't think the leader of the opposition is serious about his condemnation of this type of mudslinging and low-level exchange and discourse in public life, in politics, and in governance. Well, I tell you what, I have about 85 questions for Ms. Komolafe. So I'm not gonna spend too long on my intro. Here's what I will tell you. You must read the stories on the exchange between Moultrie and Brent Simonet in the House yesterday. Read the stories in both The Guardian and the Tribune, because it left me with one brief thought. If calling on senior statesmen and women to remind their colleagues of the importance of adhering to the rule of law was the least of the issues we have with the House of Assembly and how it functions, we'd be having a good day. I'm gonna leave it there. Good morning, Ms. Komolafe.
Good morning, Ms. Green. It's good to be here with you today.
It's absolutely good to be here.
Yes. And congratulations on your show.
Thank you. Yes. And let's make a note, because the people, I think we're on camera, and the people could already see.
Yeah.
I in green.
Right.
Y'all in green. I green.
Your name green.
I
your
name
eyes
green.
Green.
My eyes green.
Your shirt green.
I went to QC. Everything I put on was green.
Oh, you sound like you're gray and green.
Well, look here. I don't understand why I didn't wake up in a DNA uniform this morning. Because I was born to be a DNA.
Absolutely.
So let's get right into the discussion. And let me read my intro, right? And I want the audience to sort of get a sense of what the conversation is going to be like. This conversation today is not just about female politicians. And I want to say that female politicians is grammatically correct, and we could use that pronoun. It is a pronoun. We could use that there, or descriptor there. It's also about women navigating political spaces and the capacity and potential for women to expand and grow the political process and reshape how we govern ourselves and each other. Good morning, Ms. Komolafe.
Good morning.
So I guess the first question is this. In 2017, the DNA ran approximately 30% women on their slate. How many women are you running for the next general election?
Well, that I'm glad you put out that statistic because that is the standard. And no other political party had put out that much amount of women in one slate in one general election cycle. And so that is the standard for us, and we're hoping to be able to meet that standard again. So we're actively working toward that same goal.
Mm-hmm. Does your party have an official quota? Like when you all start the process, you say, look, we aim to hit a minimum of 33%.
Yes, we've been actively pursuing women to get involved in politics. In fact, we're the only political party that has embedded and enshrined within our constitution a quota that really positions women to come to the table. So we have said within our constitution, which this change was made back in February 2019 when I became the leader, that we should have, and we had to be able to balance the genders. So no more than 50% men, no more than 50% women. And so that's the goal of the party. Of course, taking into consideration the qualifications of the individual.
All right. Do you think we need quotas for women in the private sector? And in the civil service, right? Like in that sector, do you think we need quotas for women at leadership levels?
I think we've been moving at a faster pace in that area than we have in politics. Having served on private boards as well as public sector boards. And I mean, just recently I served on a public sector board that was headed by a female and that was largely populated by females. And this was a financial services board. So I think we've been moving in that direction very strongly, in this country anyway. So that's not a major issue for us compared to on the political scene.
Right. And so it leads me to another question. This one is a little rough. If the DNA were my party and I was in charge making all the decisions, I would not have made you the leader.
Okay.
Yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yet.
Yes.
And you see that point you made about the number of women performing at high levels and in leadership in the financial sector. I see you as an economic whiz. And I wondered, why wouldn't the DNA make you responsible for their economic platform, considering the importance of the economy in terms of the function of government?
You mean at this point now or before I ascended to the leadership post?
Well, at either point. Because soon as I met you at an event hosted by the, at the time, Bureau of Women's Affairs.
Yes.
And you came to speak to women about financial issues and how to engage that space, right?
Yes.
So from then I said to myself, this woman, if I had a party, this woman would be in charge of my economic platform.
Absolutely. Well, I am largely in charge of the economic plan for the DNA. I'm also the spokesperson for finance within the DNA. So a lot of the plans are largely driven by what I see where we need to be, where we ought to be, and what we can do to get the country back on track.
Absolutely. Do you believe or think that women have more agency than they think they have or they're led to believe they have?
In politics?
Yeah.
Certainly, I think they're led to believe that they have more agency than they have.
They're led to believe that they do?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think so. I think a lot of women find out once they get in and they realize that there is a lot of tokenism I learned it the hard way as well, even being in public sector. You think that you're appointed or you get a position for your qualifications and to actually make the change that you seek out to make. And then you realize that you're caught in a web, in a system that's very structural, that has been around for decades, that is still male-driven. And you're still not going to be able to get the accomplishments or the achievements through that you want to. You know, with us women, we don't have the opportunity to sit in the bar rooms and to do all the mingling after hours and stuff like that. It is not seen to be becoming of us. And we're not in these boys' clubs and in these fraternities and so on and so forth. So we don't have the latitude that a lot of our male counterparts have. So, and it's in those settings where a lot of decisions are made and deals are brokered, and you are able to get your whatever it is that you want. I've seen, even serving as the managing director of the Bahamas Development Bank, for example, I've seen the male managing directors who've been able to get more out of compared to what I've been able to get. Right. So I think for the most part, when it comes to public sector and public service, women are led to believe that they have more agency than what they have.
Right. So I got two questions I'm thinking about here. Let's go with the first one. Should then we encourage women and men who support women and women's issues to better organize themselves so that they can better navigate and machinate, right? Like navigate and make moves in the political space. Will that shift the political culture that tends to keep women out of the decision-making spaces, even if they are in positions of power?
Absolutely. And I think we should start at the earliest opportunity from the school level, where we are bringing young men and young women together, understanding that working together is for the benefit of the country and for social development and for political development within the country. I think we've always been talking about this whole issue of getting more women around the table in politics, but we have to recognize that that can't happen without the support of the men, because we have an almost equal society, an almost balanced society. So it makes sense for men and women to come together in whatever forum is going to be. Some men are uncomfortable in coming in women's forums, and some women are uncomfortable in going in men's forum. So you would have to create that environment, that habitat, where these two genders can come together and really be able to address this issue of female representation.
So let me ask you a quick question that's not on the list. What do you think about women forming an all-woman party? Or you think that's a way to ensure that women's issues are on the party's agenda, or do you think that that's going to backfire and we're sort of missing the point in the feminist argument that we need to strategize to bring more women's voices to the table?
Yeah, I think your latter comment is probably going to backfire.
Yeah.
I don't know that an all-women's party would fly. And honestly, I don't know that, I mean, forgetting even whether the men would support it, I don't know if the women themselves would support it, you know, because sometimes misogyny comes not just from men, but surprisingly from the women. I think what we need to do is to continue to promote this ideal and this notion of equal partnership. And we should not have this segregation, and we should not have this separation. We should have a coming together.
So here's what I can do. I can start an all-women's party. Just as a model, right? Just as a model. I don't necessarily think, like you say, that that's the ultimate goal, to only have women in representation. But I think it would be interesting for us to see what a team of all women would produce. And most interestingly, I think what we will see is that we will get a more balanced representation of both men's and women's issues.
That would be an interesting scientific project for sure. What you would do, as you rightly pointed out, is you will increase the number of women who can potentially get into parliament, right? Well, all things being equal, because if that all women's party is going up against two or three established parties already in the system, then that makes it a bit more difficult. But that will be an interesting scientific project to just to have for data to be able to see.
Another question about quotas. Do you think we should attempt to implement the quotas for female candidates at a national level, or do you think we should just encourage parties to adopt a quota system within their own constitution and see the natural progression from there?
Yeah, I think the latter, because what we do not have is representation of this type of policy within the constitutions of, for example, the PLP and the FNM. Mm-hmm. I've already indicated that it's in the DNA's constitution. So before we get to the point where we're looking at our national constitution and saying, let's enshrine this in there, we need to be able to see what results we can have just by the political parties themselves taking the step forward and putting it in their constitutions and taking an intentional and bold step toward ensuring that we have adequate female representation.
Absolutely. So another question about women in politics. Is it unfair of me, Erin Green, a women's rights advocate, to say to women, you have to support women in the general election and in the voting process, regardless if there's a difference or discrepancy in principle and political ideology on issues? You have a responsibility as a woman to support other women.
Yeah. So is it fair? The answer I would probably say is no, it's not fair. Mm-hmm. Because you touched on a lot of the very potent points, which is the fact that am I supporting this woman, and this woman is contrary to everything that I believe in philosophically speaking, ideologically speaking. You know, she's not really addressing the issues that I really want her to be addressing concerning me, my life, my family, whatever the case may be. So I think we need to, and we've been talking about this, while we are in this space trying to increase female participation, we also want qualified females, but we want females who also understand who they are, philosophically speaking, ideologically speaking, so that they can connect with portions of the voting population. So we must separate that, this need for female representation, mm-hmm. also from the fact that we're trying to educate the electorate on having ideology, having philosophy, and knowing what to look out for when political leaders come to your door or when they're on a microphone speaking about certain issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So another question, what is the DNA's platform for women and girls? If you could just touch on one or two of the key elements.
Yeah, so the way that we've been looking at it, because we've spoken about, again, having these education opportunities from the earliest opportunity that we can within the educational system. And so even within our educational system, you'd see that we have a complete revamp of the system that focuses on academics, arts, athletics, agriculture, but there's a portion in there really too that speaks to character and character development. Mm-hmm. And that's an opening and an opportunity for us to be able to have where we have female mentors as well as male mentors, but speaking specifically to the women and girls, to come in and to really encourage the young women based mm-hmm. upon the different professions and vocations that they have engaged in, to encourage more of these young girls to be able to aspire to higher. And we're not just talking about politics. We're also talking about religion. We're talking about STEM areas as well, mm-hmm. science, technology, engineering, and math, those professions and vocations that are largely dominated by men, right? So we want to expose more of them to that. And, of course, we as an organization partner with a lot of female groupings like the Zonta Clubs and whatever initiatives they have, the National Women's Advisory Council, CWIL, which is the Caribbean Institute for Women in Leadership, mm-hmm. so as not to reinvent the wheel. So if they are providing opportunities and exposures to different things, then we have our women that are available to those things as well.
So I see you mentioned CWIL, and I know that they're having a training program
yes.
in conjunction with the Department of Gender and Family Affairs.
Yes.
And Zonta, right?
Yes.
Are any of your candidates participating in
yes.
that program?
So all of our female candidates will be participating in one form or the other. Some of the training takes place on a very crucial day, like Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
y'all ain't going campaigning on Saturday.
Saturday is the campaigning day.
look here, we're going to talk about safety and protocols in campaigning
right.
in a moment. But let me get to some of these texts, because I have a texter here that reminded me that I have to get to the text earlier. So I'm going to say to that texter, here we are. Thank you for the admonition and the encouragement, but send in a text so I could read it.
Right.
So I got this first text. Good morning, Ms. Green. Firstly, I voted for the DNA last two cycles, but what concerns me is this. As a DNA leader... Okay, this is a question about your husband's citizenship.
Right.
I don't think it's an appropriate question for the airwaves. And I don't think you have to answer it. But I want to raise it because I want people to know what I think an inappropriate question is.
Okay.
Now, if this is a member of the DNA, I would say that this is a personal issue and that you should respectfully and politely attempt to engage the leader about it. If you think it is so detrimental that it will cause you to shift the way you vote. But I don't think that this is a question for you to answer publicly, right? And the question asks about the timeline from you marrying to him applying for citizenship. And I guess the implication is that there's a political motivation, right?
What could be the political motivation?
Right.
Absolutely. That's a good opportunity to address the fact that, most persons, if they don't know by now, know that my husband is a non-Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Nigeria. And as the laws go inside this country, when we were married back in 2005, at that point, what was available was something called a spousal permit,
mm-hmm.
which is what you would do if you are a female married to a non-Bahamian. That male would apply for a spousal permit, or you mm-hmm. would apply for a spousal permit. And that, at the time, lasted for a maximum of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the last Christie administration, I believe the then Minister of Foreign Affairs, Fred Mitchell, they had expanded the time.
Okay.
So I don't think there is a time limit on it anymore.
Okay.
But at the time when I got married, it was 5 years. The next step from there is that you move on to apply for a permanent residency, which is what he did. So if we were married in 2005 and in 2010 or 2009 thereabouts, we applied for a permanent residency and it's granted in 2009 or 2010, we are now at 2020, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, or typically what you, the department, and this is the path, you would have served or sat with a permanent residency for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we've come to the timeline. What's the political motivation? But I know right. people like sensationalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's a path.
Right.
That has been established by our laws.
Right.
A path to citizenship.
Do you think the path frustrates Bahamians who want to stay? And their partners who are willing to commit to shifting nations and cultures. Do you think that path and the bureaucracy or the policy itself becomes a barrier to Bahamians who want to stay home and contribute to their nation?
Well, I know personally of a lot of Bahamian women who did marry non-Bahamian men who did not come back home.
Yeah.
Who stayed in the country of their spouse or who went to a more neutral territory like the United States or Canada or the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So I know for some people it has been a frustration. For me and for my husband, we have no problem with following the process. That's not an issue. You know, of course, we know on the flip side of it, the reverse, when it's a Bahamian male that's married to a non-Bahamian female, that lady can apply for citizenship straight away.
Yeah.
So we know that the reverse is true and there's no path there and there's no path to citizenship. So, you know, and if that was an opportunity, then perhaps that was something that would have been pursued as well. But I honestly cannot see what would be the political motivation there.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's only one person.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one vote in the context of 180,000 plus voters.
Right. But it raises some policy issues that I think the DNA has to address.
Yes,
but we
do address.
But I'm concerned about the manner in which the issues are raised, right? And that leads me to think about our need to interrogate the political culture and whether the presence of women, whether they bring feminist ideals or woman energy to the table or not, right? Whether the mere presence of women will shift the political culture, and in particular, the rules around how we are allowed to engage with each other and the rules around public discourse, right? Because in a number of issues I work with are hot button issues.
Right.
We still have to talk about them, but we also as advocates know that we have to curate a space, right? You have to, with intention and carefulness and sensitivity, create a space to have a sensible, cogent and coherent dialogue. About these important issues.
Yes.
But I think it's time for a break. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to a break. We will be right back because we're on the clock with Ms. Komolafe, the leader of the DNA party, and I still got a million questions to ask her. Stay tuned. You're listening to 96.9 FM.
My name is Janelle Pickering, registered midwife with the Ministry of Health. When we get vaccinated for COVID-19, we are not just protecting ourselves, we are protecting the people around us, like those who aren't able to get vaccinated due to allergies or illnesses. Protection from COVID-19 is critically important because for some people, the virus can cause severe illness or even death. Be sure you are armed with the facts when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccines. To learn more, visit opm.gov.bs/vaccine.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
Good morning, Bahamas, and welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. Today is Tuesday, March 16th, 2021, and you're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or on Flow Channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC, and I promise you I will read your text. Or you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. Well, listen, I always thought, right, that if I couldn't find work as an advocate in the Bahamas, that at least I could get a job reading the community announcements, right?
Yes.
And I can't wait for Guardian to get their own community announcement section.
That would be a good voice for community announcements.
Yes, yes, I've been practicing it from a little girl, right? I didn't know my people was preparing me for that particular moment in my life, right? So let's talk about, I got a lot of text coming just now over the break.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's read this. We start at the beginning. Great show as usual. Tell your guests it will take a culture change and social change for Bahamians to accept a woman in leadership. And that change will not take place overnight. A female will eventually be leader of this country, but not until 10 to 15 years from now. Well, first of all, Ms. Komolafe is a leader right now.
Right.
Also, tell your guests, it's a fact women don't even support women in leadership roles, so how a woman would be a leader? Well, I can answer that. Because look at all of these men out here that support women.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even right around the DNA's table, we have a mixture of both men and women supporting this female leadership.
Right, absolutely.
And of course, no, to get women in the top spot is not going to happen overnight. But we've been working for decades now, you would say.
Yeah.
We went from the franchise and being able to vote to women that being able to stand for parliament, to women being elected to parliament, to women being appointed in the upper house and the lower house, to women sitting in the cabinet, and to women even heading the second and third branch of government, which is the judiciary and the legislature. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's not an overnight process. This is a process that's been going on for decades.
Right.
So why does it have to take another 10 to 15 years?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
And sometimes where we are located, right, or our perspective, right, and I don't want to just say like limited perspective, because it could just be in a different direction.
Right.
Right. Has prevented us from seeing the slow changes that have been occurring.
Exactly.
Because if those changes hadn't occurred, would we even have a Komolafe as leader?
That's right.
For the DNA. All right. So I got another text here. Good morning, Aaron. And guests. I believe that the Bahamas and its citizens will advance and prosper even further under the able, experienced, and qualified hands and leadership of Mrs. Orinthia Komolafe and team when it comes to implementing policies and making decisions that would give cause for opportunities to be held for the Bahamian people and citizens of the Bahamas. As a musician, we would appreciate hearing the DNA's plan for musicians and the performing arts. Hence, Mrs. Komolafe continues to show that she is fit and equipped for the task at hand. So let's talk about that for a second.
Yes.
Because I'm about to ask you, what is the DNA's political ideology, right? What are the set of principles that the DNA is founded on? But let's sort of segue to, does the DNA acknowledge arts and culture as a driving force, not just for community life, but for thought and ultimately policy development in our country?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so glad for that question, because that's a major part of our platform that I'm very excited about. Again, you heard me briefly touched on our revamp of the education system, mm-hmm. where we have it in an acronym called ACTS. And we're focusing on academics, because we've just been putting everyone in one box. Just so that everybody could just get an education and then move on into a particular industry. But we have not been exploring all the talents of our young people. So we have the academics, we have arts, we have athletics, and we have agriculture, among other things. The reason why we're featuring arts so prominently within the school system as an option for young people to be able to take part in is because our end goal is to be able to develop the orange economy, which is a focus on the creative industry within this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so the vision that we have is to be able to see all forms of cultural and artistic forms really prospering inside this country. We're talking about film producers. We're talking about creating movies. So that creates the opportunities for videographers, producers, sound engineers, animators. And, of course, with all of the spin-off jobs as well for barbers and fashion designers.
And stylists. And
stylists. You know, and then we talk about also theater-style production and being able to have a hub for that, which creates more jobs and opportunities
Because what is the point of having almost 8 theaters and cinemas in your country, including a building with, like, 7 of their own screens?
Right.
And you're not taking advantage of an opportunity to place your content easily in country.
Exactly. So you must be able, we have to move from just, we're a service-based country. We have to move from just consumption to now production.
Absolutely.
And production for export so that the world is able to consume this culture that we have.
Even if we just export into the tourists
and
come and visit.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But I mean, the vision we have is to go even beyond that. Netflix style, you can be sitting in somewhere in India, somewhere in Australia, and you're consuming Bahamian content in film, in music, in play, whatever the case may be. And so the development that we want to see of that is really, that's going to be a cultural explosion, but that's also an economic revolution for us, because it also, like you rightfully pointed out, gives our tourists something more to consume than just the sun, the sand, and the sea.
Absolutely. So we got some callers on the line. callers, now listen, I am an unbiased political advocate, right? But I have one groan today. So be polite, be respectful, and I don't imagine that anybody would call and not be polite and be respectful, but I can put it out there because we take extra steps to protect the people that come into our space. Good morning, you're on the clock.
Morning, Ms. Gray. How are you?
I am good, thank you. How are you doing?
Good morning to your guests as well.
Good morning.
Okay, so the text, the last text talk about experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that came in when he spoke to experience.
Whoever the text was.
Yes, ma'am.
And I heard the leader of the DNA said that she think they would have gained more attraction if they had someone in Parliament. Am I quoting you right?
Ms. Kumalafe?
Well, we had said that the question that was asked was in terms of our messaging being able to be distributed. And I had indicated the fact that we're not covered as heavily as the government or the opposition because mm-hmm. we do not have a seat in either House of Parliament. So that was the context in which that was raised.
Because I know you said to gain attraction.
No. It's not about gaining traction. Mm-hmm. It's about being able to get the media coverage mm-hmm. like the PLP and like the FNM. Mm-hmm.
But my mind went back when I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lindendoes, when they started out, they didn't care about that, you know.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, I agree.
They just wanted
their
message.
Yes.
What I mean is whether it was, well, you know, back then the press against the political party.
Right.
Then, so Lindendoes didn't care about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you raised that because really that was just an answer to a question, but that has not stunted us from doing what we have to do. We have taken advantage of the social media platforms. And, of course, we still have feet, so we go underground and we knock on doors mm-hmm. and we get our message out in that way. And in other forms, we're still able to take advantage of the media. I'm sitting here on a talk show now, so this is a part of us getting the message out. Mm-hmm. So we have not been retarded by that or stunted by it. We're just pointing out an actual fact.
But I noticed the two main parties are accused of campaigning in groups.
In large groups.
Yeah, in large groups, whether it's large, medium, or small, in groups, more mm-hmm. than one person. But I saw the DNA in Pinewood.
Yes, we've been all over the place,
exactly.
Right?
But the two main parties are just accused of campaigning.
And no attention is being paid to the DNA.
Right, you understand.
And
Lincoln Baines. Party as well.
So they don't. So sometimes there's no attention paid to us on all levels.
I'm just saying when they talk about the emergency orders. That's
what
I'm talking about.
No, you're absolutely right. I put a heavy hand on the PLP and the FNM yesterday and today.
Left the DNA.
I could be honest with you. I wanted to be polite. I didn't even know they was campaigning, and so I wanted to be polite.
Well, you see the leader.
Yes, ma'am. I can tell her right now.
Okay.
I can tell her. Thank you. Listen,
thank you, caller.
We need the DNA to shift the political culture and remind Bahamians that the two parties at the top don't set the culture, that the people set the culture.
Absolutely.
And the people are responsible for it, and that the DNA won't just engage in any type of behavior because the other parties do it. But look here, I got another caller on the line.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am on. The Valley Boys are on the clock.
Awesome. Don't let my mother hear you, though, because she's a Saxon.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Problems. Yes, sir.
The Prime Minister in waiting, Mrs. Irentia, Mama Irentia Kumalafe.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
She needs no help. And from day one, the GNN was on her side, and we will be on her side this time.
We don't need to hear nothing from
the rest of them other parties. So I called only this morning to mm-hmm. endorse Mama Irentia Kumalafe, the next Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I'm going to endorse y'all making a party song for Ms. Kumalafe, right? I think we got a little feedback there, producer.
And I'm going to endorse...
Which genre you want?
Junkanoo, which means Reagan Scrape.
Reagan Scrape.
Because wouldn't it be beautiful if we had this blend of Junkanoo and Reagan Scrape?
Well, that's the intention of our Orange Economy plans too, and to make those music forms widely known globally and recognized as genres.
Absolutely, and I will endorse it because the DNA have released already a number of plans and programs that they intend to implement if they take the government. But y'all other set out there talking about you making party song and election song. And we ain't heard enough from you yet about the things you need to be talking about since you do garner the attention of the media. And you do sit in the House of Assembly. And the political culture that you have created excludes all other parties from national political discourse at a substantive level. Focus on the work that y'all say y'all doing. Let the DNA, because they are doing the work, come up with one party song. Anyway, let me get to this next caller. Okay. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green, and to your listeners all over the world, and good morning to Mama.
Good morning.
Madam Leader.
Yes, sir.
All right. Ms. Green.
Yes.
I have two questions for you to ask, Madam Leader, right?
Okay.
You could maybe write it down quickly. I want to know, like, all of them, like, different persons who leave in parties and stuff like that from the DNA that form, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with Wells, Rawlins, all kind of people leave the party. I wonder how difficult it is, it being for... She only can speak for her. She's the second leader of this party. It being to attract them, or how difficult it is to get them, even one or two still there in Parliament right now, independent, a Senate member, one from Freeport, how difficult it is, and how far away we is from, like, a woman prime minister in the Bahamas. Being realistic now, you know, she'd like for it to be, and this coming up, right? But to be realistic, how far, because that show how mature we is, and if we ready for that right now. Then, Mama Leader, how you doing, Mom?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Okay, Happy New Year and all of that,
Mom. Same to you, thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Tell me something. What's the policy for the DNA? Because I know it being around before you became the leader. When it comes down to, like, immigration, the children that were born here and stuff, the illegal immigrants having, like, babies and stuff, does the party feel like from you born here you have some kind of rights, or you agree with the government that when you reach 18 you could apply? Do you agree with what we've been doing? And what about, like, that thing, like, with the same-sex marriage and persons who might be of a certain lifestyle having special rights, like when it comes down to living with their dignity, maybe getting married or adopting children? I'll hang up and listen. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. All right.
Listen, thank you. I get all them questions here already. Right? What's the ideology of the DNA? Yes, and thank you for those questions, right? And that is the way that, like, you support your party.
Yes.
Right? You are also thinking about things you think your party should be thinking about,
exactly.
Not just bashing them for not raising the issue. I don't know if you want to speak to them yet or if I could get to another caller.
It's up to you.
All right. Well, respond.
Okay. So the first one where he speaks about it's been a challenge getting persons to come on board, and I'm not the only person having to deal with that. I think Mr. McCartney had to deal with it as well.
Yeah.
So because we've been having ongoing discussions for a couple of years now. So that's been a challenge, and getting people to be serious and to commit and see the urgency of now.
And it suggests that they didn't leave the party because of a disagreement with the political culture, just maybe where they were located in the political culture and the treatment by their party.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's true. That's another valid point. So that's been an issue. On the issue of immigration, the DNA is already on record of saying that we do not support citizenship by birth, but we do have a path to citizenship, just as I already outlined the path earlier.
Okay.
Right? So we do have a path for citizenship for persons who would have been born here to non-Bahamian parents, and it's not an overnight process. It's going to be a process.
Absolutely.
Right? So we have spoken to that as well. But, of course, we also know that there are legacy issues that need to be addressed. And so we're very keen to address those legacy issues that are existing in the system. When it comes to, he was talking about same-sex marriage and everything.
And I would say human rights and protection of vulnerable communities and the right to a life of dignity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So with human rights, we've always, and that's actually enshrined inside our Constitution to really support the human rights. You mentioned something earlier when you talked about something coming from the people, mm-hmm. rather from the people.
Yeah.
And the question is, if you deal with an issue like same-sex marriage, for example,
yeah.
is it a large enough amount of people demanding that we have this particular policy? Because we've been having a lot of top-down approach to policy and implementing policy in our country, and not necessarily right, a bottom-up approach.
And as an advocate, I agree, and in my gender equality referendum campaign, I talked about giving people or allowing people to exercise their right to make informed decisions, right?
Yes.
And my greater concern at this point in time is that we don't recognize or allow for same-sex marriages in country, but we will in certain legal circumstances recognize same-sex marriages from foreign jurisdictions, right?
Right.
And so my biggest concern is about the discrepancy in the law. And then allowing Bahamians to participate in a process that truly hears their voices.
Right.
So let's get to the next. Oh, okay. You want to go on?
Yeah, so I think in that particular case, you talk about the protection of persons and the protection of individuals, which is absolutely key.
Mm-hmm.
Where, regardless of your sexual identity, regardless of your gender, male or female, regardless of your nationality, a person should be given due respect and be able to be treated humanely, mm-hmm. right? And that's a fundamental right that we all have under our Constitution. Regardless.
Absolutely. Now, callers, as you heard earlier, my text is set.
Race, creed, and religion, too. I want right. to get that in there as well, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Freedom of conscience.
Yes.
Which includes thought and religion.
Good. Yeah. Correct.
So, callers, you heard the text say they need more text time, so I'm going to ask you to keep your contributions short, because I got a lot of text to read as well. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Madam Leader.
Morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I just called to say you are making us as DNA very proud.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We appreciate you. And only thing I would like to see is that the two other gentlemen from two other parties consent to have a debate with you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We would want a debate.
You know.
Yes.
So we can see where the issues are and you can deal with the issues better.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, anyhow, you have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Right. I think that's a part of the political culture that definitely needs to be shifted.
Definitely.
Right?
Yes.
And even though we don't vote for prime minister,
right.
It would be great to see the leader of the party lead the debate, right? And and shift the culture to create more openness.
And more depth. Again, it goes back to my point of not just supporting a woman for a woman,
right?
But more listening to the message and the ideology and the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so frustrated with these political parties after they would have been voted in, mostly in landslide victories, because we didn't listen to the message.
Or didn't get sufficient time or opportunity to interrogate
exactly.
the messages they thought were sufficient Precisely. For us. Again, another caller, you're on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, Ms. Green, how you doing this morning?
I am good, thank you. How you doing?
Good morning to Ms. Kamalafi.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. I am a supporter of the PLP, and I respect you as a lady, but let me say this to you, Ms. Kamalafi. You have some of your people who are putting you out there, right, ma'am? Let me give you a little word advice. You know, they say word advice is sufficient, right? You have some of your people who are putting you out there, but they're not trying to get out your message. And what is causing now, ma'am? And you need to bring your people back and whoever pokes in about you to try spread the word of what you want to say or what you want to do. Don't turn it into a political between the PLP and the FNM. Same thing with the last caller. Stick to your plan. The people want to know what the DNA is about. The people want to know what Ms. Arinte Kamalafi is going to bring to the table. Don't see, that's where a lot of us would go wrong in life and politics, you know. We worried about what the PLP, the FNM, and the next place are doing. Worry about what you're going to do. And your supporters, some of my good friends, y'all try to encourage the lady. Don't try to post things to try to make people them to attack her or attack her family. Have a good day, Ms. Kamalafi.
So.
You too, sir. But,
listen. Here's what I hear him saying, right?
Right.
Because this is a similar critique. I just didn't know if I was going to bring it to this conversation,
okay.
right? I've seen one of the DNA's campaign strategies, right, is to compare the PLP and the FNM to each other.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And while that is effective for a portion of the campaign, I think that the party needs to shift focus in inundating us with your policies for governance, right?
Yes.
If you take care of the governance, yes, the politics will take care of itself.
Absolutely. But I'll tell you this. We like to employ or deploy the Nehemiah strategy, which is you have your weapons in one hand to fight the battle.
Which is pamphlets and texts and plenty of information. Yes.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And then you have your working tools in the other hand. Uh-huh. Right? So we are constantly out there, whether it's on talk shows or putting on virtual alliance meetings and having presentations on our platform. We are constantly out there pushing our issues. Mm-hmm. But these attacks that comes on the DNA... sometimes it's not generated by the DNA.
Yeah.
It's generated by the other side.
Yeah.
We would rather not get into the dogfight. We would rather not hit the PLP and the FNM.
Yes, and so let me make this point here. Dear sir, and regular caller from the PLP, don't stop calling because I say this, right? That is good advice. Like, I endorse it, right, in parts. But also, say the same thing,
to your party,
particularly your chairman, right?
Precisely.
Who should be teaching politics within the party at this point.
Right.
To focus on governance within your own party structure, even if you're in opposition. And when you get to government, if you focus on governance, the politics will take care of itself.
And not going into the gutter.
Right. Well, I was going to say, and then you don't have to be a gardener and continue to dig beneath the dirt for things to throw at people.
Yes. So we tend to see this hypocrisy. You can call out, you could see the plank in somebody else's eye, but you can't see the wood in your own eye.
Right. And so the question I would put to you is, do you see the potential and the capacity for you to shift the political culture with your mere presence in the race?
Absolutely.
All right. Caller, you're on the clock. You got 30 seconds.
Godly Day Universe, along with you and your guest, Aaron.
Good morning, sir.
Much the same. Thank you. What I want to say, Ms. Kamalati.
Hello.
Brayman Darling Ferguson.
Yes, Brayman. How are you doing?
I'm holding, thank God. What I would like for you to do, right, whatsoever your policy going to be, I want you to put that in black and white to make sure you all establish it when you get in there, if you were to get in. Secondly, right, when it comes to immigration, all the illegals that are here, and a lot of people that are squatting on people land, right, illegal, what you going to do with situation of such. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me get to another caller. Caller, you're on the clock. 30 seconds. Good morning.
Morning, Aaron Grant.
Good morning. How you do?
I could try to pronounce that name to the great leader.
Komolafe.
Am I right?
Yes, Komolafe.
Komolafe, right. My prime minister, Komolafe, that's a difficult task.
No, stop right there. Stop right there. Everybody could learn how to say Tchaikovsky and Greenberg and all of these weird European names. It is just as easy for us to learn African names. I know, but dude, I want to thank you for helping me.
I tried to put a leg. You got a sense of humor.
No, you helped me make a point I wanted to make. Good.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
did I interrupt the question?
No, go on.
I know you only got a couple of minutes.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, but my main goal is to, I think the DNA will need to focus on two things.
Mm-hmm.
It takes money to win a seat or a government. I think the DNA need to focus on winning seats, not winning government, because PLP took years before they came a government. The FNM took years. But what they do, they push their best people, they win seats. Yes, sit to the table is the most important thing for the DNA.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
You had a good show, you know.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good day.
It's these green people in here. It ain't me. It's these green people. The mother said. All right. I'm sorry, callers. I got to get to the text. Remember, somebody spent a whole 6 minutes to tell me off. So my favorite texter, I don't know if you're my favorite today, Green. DNA will never win. Never. FNM, too straight. He got to, that's his rights and his job.
Absolutely, that's politics.
Yeah, DNA all the way.
We say FNM too straight, he's in the strong minority.
Yeah, well, minority, because that pun was hilarious. Good morning, Aaron. This woman will be supporting that woman in your studio. I follow her and realize she is special. I am looking for good governance and sound like she will implement. signed a professional 40-plus-year-old woman.
Thank you.
It's a great endorsement. Good morning. I am a man, and Mrs. Komolafi impresses me to all heights. She sounds like a leader of today and tomorrow. Out with the old, in with the new. It's time to go green in 2022. I wish Mrs. Komolafi and the DNA had hit the ground running from year one of this government. I feel they waited too late to get their information out there. As a young adult, I'm tired of hoping for the PLP or the FNM to bring a change. We are ready to see change, but we need to be able to converse with and read about the plans of what we can expect now. It feels a bit late. I would really much rather see town hall meetings and, more importantly, a presence in the Jubilee Gardens area. You know, my producer, he always on the clock too. So yeah. Tell us, where can people go to find the plans and policy information that you guys have already produced?
Yes, very good. Thank you. And to that last texter, we've been on the ground from 2017 holding this government speak to the fire. You can go to our website, www.mydnaparty.org. We've been putting out press statements. We put out the most press statements, I would say, and press statements of substance. Or you can go to our Facebook page, Democratic National Alliance, and we are on every social media platform. The handle is at MyDNAParty. Twitter, mm-hmm. LinkedIn, Instagram, everything. We're there.
All right. I got this text here. It's about Bahamians being God-fearing. Please stop pushing for ungodly sin on our land. I think that was a response to the question about same-sex marriage. But let me say this. Mrs. Komolafi didn't say anything that suggested that she or her party endorses same-sex marriage. Simply, they endorse the Bahamians' right to be a part of that decision-making process. But surely, ensuring that every Bahamian enjoys the right to a life free of violence and a right to a life of dignity is not against God.
Exactly.
And supports a nation of people who fear God and would never trouble God's creation for any reason. Anyway, Mrs. Komolafi, it has been a pleasure. We spent most of our day talking about women in politics and how women have the potential to expand the capacity of our political process. But we also talked about what the DNA is doing and intends to do. And I want to continue that conversation with you in the near future.
Sure.
But I had to start this conversation in Women's Month because what a time to do it.
Absolutely.
What a time to do it. Anyway, thank you, Bahamas, for joining this conversation. Thank you, texters, for keeping the conversation lively. Thank you, callers, as well. Have a great day and stay tuned for Unleashed with Levan Miller, coming to you at 11 a.m. Have a good day, Bahamas.